Take your Bible and turn to the book of Philippians tonight. The book of Philippians, if you will, please. The fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4, and we're going to look together at verses 11 through 13, really as a launching pad, kind of. I don't normally leave a text, but I'm going to use the text as a premise for the message, and I pray the Lord will use it in our lives this evening. We're in Philippians chapter number 4. If you would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to stand, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11, and we'll read down verse number 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the apostle wrote, "Or an inspiration of God's Spirit, not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then verse 13 is really going to be my text verse for the message this evening, and I'd like for you to read it out loud together with me. You ready? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Let's read that one more time together, would you please? You ready? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Let's pray. Thank you, our Father, for the testimony of the apostle in the time where most of us would have not been thinking about the strengthening that you would provide. Most of us would have been sulking and pouting, and most of us probably would have been depressed and discouraged. But I'm grateful that you inspired him in the midst of a Roman prison to write these words, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so I pray tonight you'll take this thought and challenge our hearts to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I pray in his name and for his sake I ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Paul is coming to the close of the letter to the Philippian church. And as he gets ready to close out this letter, in verse 11, the first verse we read a moment ago, he speaks about the matter of contentment. Now, I know and understand that most of us understand that the Apostle Paul was imprisoned at this point in his life, what I believe to be the first of two imprisonments that Paul would suffer for the sake of the gospel and the testimony of the Word of God. And there he is in prison, and he writes the words, I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know what Paul states there? He states a positive fact in about some negative situations. He says, "I'm content despite my circumstances. My circumstances aren't prime. My circumstances really aren't something that I want to be. I'm not at a place that I really want to be in life. I'm not enduring something I really wanted to be a part of, but I'm here, and I've learned in this situation, whatsoever state I am." That doesn't mean North Carolina, Tennessee, or Alabama, okay? "I've decided in whatsoever state I am, I'm going to be content." So he said it's regardless of circumstances. I'll tell you something else it's regardless of. It's regardless of companions. We know that the Apostle Paul had some people who had once traveled with him who forsook him, and some of them forsook him because of the very situation we're talking about tonight, and because he was in prison for preaching the gospel. So he had come to understand that whether he was in a desperate situation or deserted by his co-laborers, he could have joy apart from poverty or prosperity. It was the power of Christ in him that gave him the spiritual contentment that he needed. As a matter of fact, notice that next verse, verse number 12. He said, "I know both how to be abased," put down, "and I know how to abound." He said, "I know how to be at the bottom, and I know how to be at the top." As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know what he said? He said that the complete Christian life is not just an experience of hallelujahs. He said, I know how to be full. And all of us would say, right there, why didn't he stop? But he said, I know how to be hungry. He said, I know how to abound, and I know how to suffer need. He knew what it was to be full, overflowing. He knew what it was to be dry and desperate. You know, all of nature testifies to the strength of hidden sources. The great trees of the forest send their roots deep into the earth to draw waters and the minerals that are needed so they can withstand the storm. The great rivers of our planet have their origins in snow-capped mountains. And the honest truth is, unless you and I learn how to draw from the inner resource of the indwelling Christ, we most likely will languish in our Christian life and perhaps just quit serving God. All of us know pressure. Family pressure, financial pressure, physical pressure, health pressure. And if we're not careful, we will allow the pressures of this life to drain us. But there is another alternative. And we can, in the midst of the pressures of life, rather than drained of strength, we can draw closer to the Lord and we can draw on His strength. Paul, in this little epistle, testified over and again of that power of Christ that's in him. Go back to chapter 1, would you, just a moment. We're going to look at some other passages later, but look at chapter 1, verse 6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Go to verse 21. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Go to chapter 2, verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. It is God. Go to his testimony section in chapter 3 of Philippians. Look at verse number 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, I know what it is to be dependent upon God in whatever matter of life that comes my way. And honestly, I believe you could sum up the Apostle Paul's life in one statement. And it's verse 13 of our text. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I believe that was the motto of his life. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's a lot of things in that verse jump out. I'll give you just a few of them and then we'll get to the message. It's personal. He said, I. You know, I'm glad that I have the same Savior he had. I have the same Holy Spirit he had. I have the same scriptures he had. I can. It's positive. I like that attitude. I remember years ago reading a statement. Someone said, success is found in I can, in cans. I can, I can, I can, I can, I can. Goes back to the good attitude we talked about this morning. It is perfect or complete. I can do all things. It applies to every area of my life. It is powerful through Christ. He who is the King of kings, the ruler and sustainer of the universe, the Lord of lords and the potentate of potentates lives in me. And greater is he that lives in me than he is in the world. It's permanent, which strengtheneth me. That word strengtheneth, that little ETH suffix in our King James Bible, that translates a linear tense, which means he strengthens me today, he'll strengthen me tomorrow, he'll strengthen me next week, he'll strengthen me next month, he'll strengthen me next year. I can have his strength no matter what, and he will never run out of power. And it's available. So I want you tonight, as we look at this thought, all things through Christ, see three truths that Paul shares with us in this one epistle, and there are many others we could look at, but for the sake of time, we'll look at these three. So go with me to chapter 2, would you please? Chapter 2, truth number one, I can renew my spirit through Christ. You're in chapter 2, look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's talk about that, and then we'll look on down some other verses here in chapter 2. The word mind there means to think on, to be mindful of. I believe it would be a good word that you and I could translate spirit. I can renew my spirit through Christ. Or as we talked about this morning, attitude. Paul said, let this mind, this spirit, this attitude be in you. Now, what is the attitude? What is the spirit? It says it is the spirit or mind of Christ. Notice it, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he reminds us of who Jesus is, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God, absolutely God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which at that moment in history was the cruelest means of death available to torture people with. You know what Paul challenges us to have? The mind of Christ. What is the mind, the spirit of Christ? It is the spirit of a servant. Now let's just be honest. We had rather rule than serve. We'd rather be served than to serve. But you and I tonight, through the power of the indwelling Christ, can renew our spirit of servanthood and say, you know what? This world owes me nothing. God owes me nothing. But I sure want to be a bondslave. A doulos is the Greek word. I want to be a bondslave for Christ. What is the spirit of a servant? Well, I think it's very easily defined in verse 8 where he says he humbled himself and became obedient. The spirit of a servant is a spirit of humility. And I love what Warren Wiersbe said. I've quoted many times defining humility. He says humility is not thinking less of yourself. He said it's not thinking of yourself. Whoa. Right there, Moses will say, well, don't you think I'm going to have a good self-image and everything? No, you and I need to be humble. And I'm not talking about some false humility. I'm humble. I'm very, very humble, you know. I'm talking about not thinking I deserve. Now, that goes against everything in our nature. I think I deserve. I'm an American. I think I deserve. I'm a male. I think I deserve. I'm a, you know, whatever. Humility. obedience. You know what Jesus did? Jesus lived for the benefit of others. I think Jesus summarized his life on earth in one statement, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came on a rescue mission. Search and rescue. I mean, he was looking for us, and he did all that he could to rescue us by giving his own self on the cross, shedding his blood for the remission and the forgiveness of our sins. And yet you and I want to often think, well, this world owes me something. I deserve better than what I've got. Can I tell you tonight, it's probably very probable that many of us, like a car needs an oil change, we need a renewed spirit of serving. You have to guard your spirit. I talked about it this morning. I won't re-preach the morning hour. But I mean, all the devil wants is a little wiggle room inside of your spirit, your attitude. And he'll take whatever happens. I'm talking about things that could happen to you and no one meant evil by them. But he'll take whatever or whoever he can to discourage us and to get us caught up in a woe is me attitude. The spirit of a servant is not an arrogant spirit. Arrogancy and pride say, I deserve. Humility says, don't deserve anything. Thank God for salvation. Going to serve him and love him. You know, I love the testimony of Daniel in the Old Testament. Chapter 5, verse 12, chapter 6, verse 3 of his prophecy, it said he had an excellent spirit. Now, think with me a moment. Daniel's a captive, taken away from home as probably a teenage boy, put in a system that was anti-God, okay? There was no Christian legislators in the Babylonian parliament. He was put into a place where he was to learn the king's language, the king's culture, the king's customs, the king's, you name it. And yet Daniel excelled in that kingdom, that anti-God kingdom. He excelled, why? Because he had an excellent spirit. Now, if you want to check out whether you got an excellent spirit, see what you posted on Facebook this week. You can find how excellent it is. Well, I just got on there and had a gripe session. I'm telling you, that's not what you and I ought to do as believers. Amen. If you're going to gripe to anybody, go to God. He'll listen. But don't go to somebody else and don't air all your gripes everywhere you want to go and whatever you want to say. I mean, Satan is going to constantly confront a good spirit. I remember as a young preacher reading a biography of Charles Spurgeon. I've read several now. But I remember the first one I read, I don't know exactly how old I was. I think I was somewhere in early college experience, 18, 19 years of age. And I read how Spurgeon fought depression and discouragement and despondency. And I remember as a young preacher boy thinking, I thought people said Charles Spurgeon's the greatest English preacher that ever lived. What's wrong with him? But you know what? Then I turned 20 and 21 and 22 and 23 and 24 and 25 and 26, 27, 28, all the way up to 61. All right, just trust me. And I realized, you know what? That's a battle all of us fight. But I got good news. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Number one, I can renew my spirit through Christ. Number two, I can rejoice in sorrows through Christ. Go back to chapter 4, would you please? Chapter 4 of Philippians. Would you read verse 4 out loud together with me? I think it's the key verse of the whole book. Would you read it with me? You ready? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He wasn't rejoicing because of his sorrows. He was rejoicing in spite of his sorrows. You know what he did? He chose to rejoice. And this isn't the first time. The first imprisonment situation we have in the life of the Apostle Paul was actually in the city where he wrote this letter to. It was the city of Philippi. It's recorded in the 16th chapter of Acts. In the 16th chapter of Acts, he and Silas are thrown into innermost prison. Their feet and hands are made fast in stocks. And you know what they do at midnight? They gripe and complain. No, they sing, praise God, and pray. What I'm saying is, Paul had made it a pattern of praising God in the midst of his sorrows. Have you made it a pattern to pout in the midst of your sorrows? See, the truth is, in spite of our sorrows, we can rejoice. I love what Billy Sunday, the evangelist of the 20th century, said. He said, if you have no joy in your Christianity, you probably have a leak in your faith. Are you joyful? You say, well, Pastor Raymond, you know what's happened in my life? No, I may not, but I know this. God's been at work in your life. And even in the troubles and the trials of life, God's there shaping you. I love the illustration that the Lord gave to Jeremiah the prophet. In chapter 18 of Jeremiah's prophecy, the Lord said to him, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And he said, I want you to watch the potter. And said the potter made a vessel and it was marred, and he folded it up, made another vessel. But you know how he made another vessel? He made another vessel because the vessel stayed on the wheel. I'm afraid many times when we're going through troubles and trials, we try to jump off the wheel. We don't want God really shaping us and really patterning us the way he wants us to patter. He's the master potter. We're the clay. And there always will be times when you have suffering. But you know, one of the things I've found in life, living 61 years, being in the same church almost 40 years now, you know, one of the things I found in life, I found that the people who suffer so little are the ones who think that they have it so bad. I've seen people in a lot worse circumstance than people I've heard complain and never make a word of complaint. It could be a physical illness. It could be the loss of a loved one in death. But I've watched them in the midst of their sorrows still rejoice because they were allowing God to do his perfecting work in their lives. Hey, listen to me. Peace is not the absence of sorrow. Peace is the presence of Christ in my sorrows. And as we experience that presence in our trials, and God equips us. And listen, God does that for a purpose. Leave a Bible marker there in Philippians. Go with me just a moment to 2 Corinthians, would you please? 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want you to see why God allows some trials in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, would you look at verse number 3, please? Verse 3, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I would just stop right there and say amen. I'm glad he's the Father of the source of all mercy, and I'm glad he's the God of all comfort. But look at what he does for us. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, all our sorrows, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, I have come to understand that when I am suffering for a purpose, and one of those purposes is so I can turn around and be a comfort to someone else who travels that same valley of sorrow that I once traveled. We're to take the comfort we've received from the God of all comfort, and we're to appropriate it to others. You're there in 2 Corinthians, so just flip over to chapter number 12 just a moment. Chapter number 12, would you please, and look at verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and it might depart from me. This thorn in the flesh, we don't know what it was. It could have been, he calls it the messenger of Satan. It could have been a physical difficulty. It could have been something else. But he said, I prayed three times for it to depart. Verse number 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Oh, man. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, whatever sorrow that I've known, his grace has been more than sufficient, and I had rather know his power and have it even in my sorrows than not to know sorrow and not have the power of Christ working in me. Go back over to Philippians, would you, just a moment. Look at verse 5 of chapter 4. He says, let your moderation be known in all men. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, all of us want to know verse 7, the peace of God. But what's the pattern for finding the peace? Careful for nothing, worry about nothing, anxious about nothing, praying about everything. Yes, I can rejoice in sorrows. One last truth I want you to see, and we'll be through. Go to chapter 1 of Philippians. Chapter 1. Number 3, I can reach lost souls through Christ. You're in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds, that's his imprisonment, in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what Paul said? He said, what many people see as a hindrance, maybe putting in this prison, he said, I see it for the furtherance of the gospel. What others saw as obstacles, the apostle Paul saw as opportunities. What some perceived to be a closed door, Paul said, guess what? Jesus is being talked about in the king's house, the palace, verse 13. See, Paul, at that point in his life, is changed to a Roman praetorium guard, the select, elect guard of the Roman Empire. They serve under the emperor. And what many people will look and say, well, poor old Paul, he's chained to a guard. Paul thought, poor old guard, he's chained to Paul. Because what he saw on the other end of the chain was another prospect for the gospel story. What he saw on the other end of the chain was another soul for whom Jesus died. See, he didn't see it as an end. He saw it as an extension. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, his wording there in verse 13, he didn't call himself a Roman prisoner. He said, these are my bonds in Christ. This is where God's got me at this point. Rather than being discouraged, no. Verse 18, he said, Christ is preached. His outlook is, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I'll not allow anyone or anything, he said, to discourage me. I'm not going to let anybody get me down because I have a simple passion, and my passion is to preach the gospel. And wherever God puts me at, that's where I'm going to be sharing the good news that Jesus saves. It'd help you to look at your job different in the morning, sir, ma'am. If you dread going there to go in there tomorrow morning and said, well, I wonder how many folks in here need to hear about Jesus today. I wonder how many need to know the gospel. Because God wants to use you. God wants to strengthen you and me. And I honestly believe that God places lost souls in our path. And I wonder how many times we pass them by. I wonder how many times I pass them by. I mean, I've got to the end of a day before. I mean, the Lord's worked me over and thought, he's made me think, you know that guy who spoke with that little break in his voice? He was looking for somebody to tell him about Jesus, and you were in a hurry. I'll tell you what you ought to do over these next 3 weeks between now and Easter. You ought to make you a prayer list. People I want to see with me in service on Easter Sunday, April the 4th. List of family members, list of friends, a list of neighbors, a list of co-workers. And then you ought to start praying for them. But you ought to take one more step. You ought to put feet on your prayers. I like what the Chinese soul winner, one day someone asked him to share his success in soul winning. And he said, first I get on my knees and talky, talky, talky. And then I get on my feet and I walky, walky, walky. God wants to use us, me, you. And we can reach lost souls through Christ. What did Paul say? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Go one last verse and we're through. Go with me to John 15, would you please? Jesus makes a very similar statement here, but I want you to see it in the words of Christ. You're in John chapter 15. If you will, please look with me at verse number 5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. See, the truth is, it's not I can do all things. That's not it. Don't walk out here tonight and say, well, Pastor gave us a good pep talk and we can do all things. No. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do it through him. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. But through Christ, I can renew my spirit, a servant spirit. Through Christ, I can rejoice in my sorrows. And through Christ, I can reach lost souls with the gospel of Christ. Would you say that verse out loud together with me one more time? We're going to say chapter 4, verse 13, if you need to turn there, of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You ready? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Here's the question. I'm through. The statement is, I can. The question is, will you? Will you? Will you allow this week Christ through you Will you allow him this week to renew your spirit? Will you allow this week? Will you allow him to use you to reach lost souls? Will you allow him to, this week, to rejoice in your sorrows? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. Do you know Christ? If you don't know him, he's not in you and you can't do it through him. But those of us that know him, he's in us. Let's allow him to do it. Would you bow your heads with me? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God's spoken our hearts tonight from his word and by his spirit. A verse that probably many of us in this room, we may know it by memory. We've heard the truth of it many times. But the honest truth is, we've not appropriated in our life. God wants you to know tonight, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. God's spoken to our hearts. Maybe tonight you're in the midst of a sorrow. Maybe you need to find your place of prayer and say to the Lord, Lord, I can rejoice in the midst of my sorrow through Christ. Maybe tonight you're in the midst of a struggle in your own life. And you say, man, I'm telling you, the devil's got me down. You can tonight renew your spirit through Christ. You say, I just don't think anybody will listen if I give them an invite these next 3 weeks. Nobody's ever come before, preacher. You can reach lost souls through Christ. God can do it through you. Will you allow him to? As a Christian, you may need to slip from your place, find your place of prayer. You may turn, make your pew an altar there. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I can do all things through you because you strengthen me. That's a permanent strengthening today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. If you're here without Christ, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you'll meet me right here where I'm at, I have someone to take a Bible and from the Bible show you how to be saved. Perhaps you online with us, you don't know Christ. If you'll text the word prayer to our church text number, one of our hosts will reach out to you. If you're on a platform, you raise your hand there, one of the hosts will reach out to you. You need to know Christ. As Brother Daniel sings, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Will you do that this evening? Will you let him who lives in you, who is the King and power of glory, will you let him have his way?